Again, good morning, Grace Life. It's always a pleasure to be here and see everyone this morning. And as we continue our series on the miracles of Jesus, we have been talking about for the last 3 weeks how Jesus started, and he started with the healing miracles. And we know the first one was a leper that he came and he knelt down before Jesus and he asked him if it be his will, could he be healed? And we know that Jesus healed him. Then we had a Gentile, and he came and he said, Lord Jesus, if you just speak the word, my servant can be healed. And we know that he spoke the word and his servant was healed. And today, folks, we look at Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And so we pick up the story here with Jesus coming to the mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, and touching her and her being healed. So as we stop and we think about this, this is just healings, isn't it? This is what Jesus does. He feels his compassion for each one of us, and if we have a need, he will touch us and heal us, and that's what he actually does. Well, yes, that's kind of, sort of, but maybe not all the way. Jesus loves us. He loves us. And his desire is for all of us to be healed. And his desire was to create a kingdom and show us that kingdom while he was here that he has prepared for us, where everyone will be healed. Everybody will have no sickness. There will be nothing there to, no crying, no tears. There will be nothing there but be in the presence of Jesus and God the Father. And that's going to be awesome. So you take Jesus in his ministry here on this earth, and as we stop to look at that, well, we see that he has made three healings. Three healings. But what's different about them three healings? What has he done that is different? Does anybody think about there's a difference? You don't have to answer. You can just think about that for just a second. Well, folks, he comes to those that are weak. He comes to those that are less. You see, the leper, he was less. Nobody had anything to do with that leper. Nobody wanted to touch him. Nobody wanted to be around him. But Jesus did, didn't he? He came to the less. Look at the second healing that he done. It was the Gentile. And what do they say about the Gentiles? They called them dogs. Nobody wants to pet a stray dog. I mean, he might bite you. You don't know. But Jesus did. And he not only healed his servant, he said, this is the greatest faith I've found anywhere. The less. So here he comes today to Peter's mother-in-law, a woman. In that day and age, folks, women were looked at as very much on the lower side of humanity. They were there, but they were not treated well at all. Nobody gave them any credit. Nobody allowed them to have a say in anything. So Peter's mother-in-law, even though it was Peter's mother-in-law, people looked at her as being less than themselves. The men did. But Jesus comes to heal. Let's look at the scripture, Matthew 8. We'll start with the 14th verse. And it says, when Jesus arrived at Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. Then she got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, many demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. He cast out the evil spirits with a simple command, and he healed all the sick. This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, he took our sickness and removed our diseases. When Jesus saw the crowds around him, he instructed his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. And when the teachers of the religious law said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." And another of his disciples said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me now. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead." Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Folks, as we see the reading of God's word and we see Jesus as he goes about it with his ministry, healing and doing miracles, we see right off the bat that he has come to Peter's mother-in-law, the woman of the leper. As we said, three people that are considered the leper of the civilization, if you want to look at it that way. But he's come to the woman, Peter's mother-in-law. And as he comes to Peter's mother-in-law, she's sick, she's in the bed, and she's got an extremely high fever. And Jesus comes in, and he touches her, and the fever goes away. Well, people were there. People saw what was going on. And they're saying to themselves, you know, we got people at home that's sick. We got people, our neighbors that are sick. We're going to rush home, gather our people that are sick in so many ways, and come back and before Jesus can get gone. And let Jesus touch these people and heal these people so that they can have a life that is, that they can enjoy. That's really wonderful, folks, because that's what Jesus did. They brought him people, the crowds did, just like the song said. They brought him people, and when they got to him, he touched them, he healed them. Whatever their sickness might have been, he took that sickness away from them. Yes, they're able to go about walking, running, talking, whatever it was that was ailing them. They're able to go about living their life and enjoying the life that God has given. But folks, what he is trying to tell those people and show those people that he's healed is that there is a life for you with me, through me, that is so much better and so much stronger and so much greater than the life that you're just going to go back home. You're going to sit down and forget about who done what for you. You're not going to remember me next week at this time. And folks, this is where we're at today. We see so many things that God does for us each and every week. And then we go back home and we forget about it. Or maybe we're not exactly where we'd like to be. And we go back home and we complain about it. You see, there's so many blessings in our lives. Each and every one of us our lives are full of blessings. And so Jesus, when he died upon that cross and he took upon our sins and he took upon our diseases and the things that we have wrong with us, he is the great healer. Folks, today I see people all the time. I could count myself in the group. I see people all the time that would like to be healed further than where I'm at. I would like to be knowing that I'm healed in a way that I'm not physically. But folks, it don't matter to me how I'm healed physically, because I am healed spiritually, and he has prepared for me a place that is above and beyond anything imaginable here on this earth. Isn't that wonderful? That is so wonderful. And this is where Jesus was at when the two disciples came. This one dude, I'm sure this scribe, he was walking around in the crowd and he's looking. I imagine he's walking around looking at Jesus and he's thinking, you know what? I believe I'm going to follow this dude. He's got a pretty good life. I don't know where he lives. I don't know much about him, but he's got a crowd following. And that crowd, they might hand me some money. They might do a lot of things if I could just get to do a little bit of what he's doing. So maybe if I just follow him. And Jesus tells him that foxes have a den. I don't even have a place to lay my head. You think you really want to follow me? No, you don't want to go with me. You don't want to go anywhere with me. You're just doing it because you're seeing what I'm doing, and you think that you can make a better way for yourself if you follow me. If you show up on Sunday morning at church and everybody sees you, if you show up on Wednesday night and everybody sees you, if you're doing something for the Lord and you're pronouncing it that I'm doing this for the Lord, everybody's seeing you. Oh, they're going to really think I'm something. Somebody walk up and hand me a 500 or a 1,000. That's what they're thinking. It ain't going to happen, but that's what this dude was thinking. And Jesus tells him, most likely that's what he's telling him, that I'm homeless, dude. I'm homeless. And you're not going to be following me. You're not going to be homeless. You're not going to enjoy being homeless. You're not going to enjoy not having a place to lay his head. And you know, as I was thinking about that this week and where Jesus was at, he basically was a homeless person. He had nowhere of his own to call home. He had places that he stayed, but he didn't own a house. He didn't have, you know, the things that Peter had. Peter had a house. Peter was married. Peter had a family. Jesus didn't. In some ways, in the ways of this world, folks, that we look at people, Peter was a lot better off than Jesus was. A lot better off than Jesus was. Because Peter would say, look at me, I got a house, I got a family, I got a wife. Yeah, I'm following Jesus around, but I drop back off at the house every few days and check on my wife, make sure she's okay and my family. And but I'm fine. I'm doing real good. But Jesus didn't. And Jesus says to be a true disciple, a true follower of mine, that it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Mainly what we see, I think, today is we cost us friends when we publicly proclaim that we are a true disciple of Christ. It cost us friends. That's the main thing. Sometimes it costs us family because family doesn't want to have any part of that. They don't want you preaching to them, telling them where they're at or what they're doing. Don't be coming to me with all of that, Mike. So you just stay home and we'll deal with you on another day. You know, you might get an invite come Thanksgiving or Christmas. Probably Thanksgiving because I ain't got to try to get you anything for Christmas. And that's the way they think. That's the way they are. It's going to cost you something. When you proclaim Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. It'll cost you at work. It might cost you a promotion. It might cost you what you think is it should be yours. But when you're serving Jesus Christ, you may find yourself in the back seat instead of the front. But you know what? God provides everything we need, doesn't he? Everything we need. Isn't that so wonderful? I mean, we don't need a thing, folks. He brings it right to our door. Everything we need. Yeah, there's lots of things we think we need or we might want, but we don't have that need. Without some of his people or him sending someone to take care of us. So we see that this one disciple, Jesus is telling him, brother, you're not committed. You're not in this for the long haul. You're not going to make this ripple. And so we don't really know if he did or didn't, but that's where he was at. And then the other disciple that came, if you look and read a lot of the different, as Brian says, old dead folks, Some of them say that this might have been Philip. I don't know. Excuse me. I wasn't there. But say it was Philip. He said, come on. You come follow me. And you don't need to go home. You let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Now, folks, you stop and you think about this, and you're saying, well, golly, Bill, this is cruel of Jesus. This man's wanting to go home, bury his dead father. You know? And Jesus is saying, no, You come on and go with me. This is not how it really was, folks. You got to stop and you got to think about this for just a minute. His father may have been dead. I don't know. But I'll bet you what the deal was, and I have no way of knowing this either, but I'm going to give you two cases here, two scenarios. You think about it. His father's dead. He's needing to go back and bury his father. Evidently, he was maybe spiritually not where he needed to be. He was spiritually dead. I mean, that's what the Bible's saying. And so when he goes, he's saying, there's no need in going back. Let them people there that are spiritually dead as well take care of your father. You need to come on and follow me. And we got work to do. Okay, that's one scenario. The other scenario is that his father's not 100% dead. His father's bad, sick, on the bed, maybe fixing to pass. And he's thinking, I need to get back home, Jesus. I need to go home so that when my father dies, I will be there to bury him. I will be there to take care of the whatever needs to be taken care of. I'll be there to claim my part of that farm. I'll be there to claim my part of that inheritance. I don't want my brothers and sisters getting in on that without me being there to raise my hand and holler and say, that part's mine. You see what I'm saying? Spiritually dead. We see it every day. Brian was telling me this morning. We see it every day. Every day. He really sees it every day. I just get to see the outskirts of it. You see, spiritually dead could mean that his father maybe wasn't dead, totally dead. He was just at a point of dying. And he's saying, just let them people, them worldly people, take care of their worldly other people, because these people are not part of you. You need to come and let's go and make disciples. You see how hard it is, folks, when we see, when we really stop and we really think about Jesus. We get caught up. Not many of us sitting here today. If there was a big farm involved somewhere and maybe some silver in a bucket, would go follow Jesus and not be there to claim your part, are they? No, we're not, because we're human. We're not going to give it up. We're not going to say, okay, y'all, I'm going to go on with Jesus. Y'all just claim my part and make sure I get it. No, nobody's going to take care of you like you will. So you're going to hang out in the world because of what you're scared. You're going to miss in the world that you can't take with you to begin with. But you can take Jesus. You can take Jesus. You know, folks, when you, one day, you will. One day when we leave this world to stand in the presence of Jesus, then we will be asked, you know, what kind of disciple? What kind are you, Mike? And you might have to answer. And then he reaches over and he gets the book and he said, well, let's just see where your name's written right here. Wow. That might get to be really tough. Because some of us, he tells us, will do miracles, we'll do many things in his name. And yet he will say, I do not know you. He tells us that. So folks, when we see that Jesus is trying to get to heal those that are the lesser of the community, he is showing you that the lesser ones are the ones that's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the lesser ones that I'm concerned about, because these has got so much and they've got everything. They're not really worried about me. They're not really worried about being my disciple. But the ones that have nothing will turn and follow Jesus. It's one thing I love about the old black spiritual songs, the ones that you pick up, Irvin can, you know, he hears them. And you stop and you think about it, folks. They had nothing. They had nothing when all those songs were written. They were working for nothing. They had nothing but Jesus. And while they were working and while they were living life and doing life, they were drawn closer to the Lord. And they wrote several of the old spirituals that we hear today. And in those spirituals, I think y'all, everybody will agree, you will see where truly their heart was. They were drawn to Christ because they were no reason not to be drawn to Christ. While a lot of the masters and a lot of the people they worked for were wealthy, they weren't so worried about Christ, were they? So today, folks, we see that Jesus is concerned about each and every one of us. And it matters not where you stand in society. It matters not how much money you got, how much you're hanging out to get, because you're getting older and you're not going to be able to do anything with it when you get it. Because you'd be like me, my hip hurts and I can't do some things that I'd like to do, you know, or this or that. My heart hurts. I can't go do this. They won't let me have an airplane because I can't fly it without hurting somebody else, you know. So there's a lot of things, folks, that will keep us here. Dreams that we want to have part of this world that's worth nothing to nobody. But that kingdom that is waiting for us, every one of us, no matter what your status might be, waiting for every one of us, is prepared for each of us. And he tells us, I've gone to prepare a mansion for you. I don't know what his view of a mansion is, but I imagine it's going to be a lot better than anything that we can imagine. And he says, I'm going to come back and get you. Folks, if you're his, he will be back to get you one day. If you're not his and you don't know him, he'll be just like he told this other disciple. I have nowhere to lay my head. You're not going to follow me. You're not going to do anything. You're just doing it because you think that you can gain from it. You think that you can be better. You can make yourself better in this world here. Let's hear these words of Jesus today. Let's think about what he's saying. Let's think about how the world was then and how it is today. It's not much different, really and truly, folks. Not much different at all. Because then, the ones that didn't have were looked down upon. Today, the ones that don't have looked down upon, and the ones that's got something are continuing to want more. They want everything that they can get. And it's not going to do them any good. So, are you wasting your life for a life that's not worth 2 cents to nobody? Are you spending your life serving Christ, living a life, being closer to Christ each and every day? Are you just having fun? I've been there and done that too. It's a life of having fun. It gets you nowhere. At the end of the day, you're just done. That's it. Think about it, folks, as we go back into this world. I hope today that you become a true follower of Christ. If you're here and you never become a true follower of Christ, it is not about what we do for him. It's about accepting his love. The Father's love today as we celebrate Father's Day. The Father's love that he had to send his son Jesus to die upon the cross. Let's give praise to the Father today for his son, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.